all your favorite letters. CFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, NFL. All on the RPS. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
KBO, Korean Baseball Organization. Welcome, everybody. Hi, Darren.
Hi, Rod.
You can speak. Welcome, everybody, to the program on this Tuesday, May the 12th. We are live coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. I'm the host, Rod Peterson. He's the co-host, Darren DuPont, ready to talk sports. We're a little out of sorts a little bit as we get rolling here in hour one as the ship leaves the harbor, because we had a very special guest in the bunker here, Catlin Schneider, dropping by from now Team Flash, but from last two years, Team Dunstone, and he dropped off his jersey from the Brier. Where did it go?
Game one.
Why would you not bring that in here?
We can't see it.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because of the green screen.
Yeah.
But it's not every day that you've got a provincial curling champion dropping by and a Brier participant and just gives you the jersey. He's like, here you go, boys. Thought you might like this.
Yeah. Signed it up, everything?
Signed it up. So we didn't have our morning meeting, which is totally fine, but we don't have our poll question up. We haven't even talked about it yet, but I got an idea, and we'll get to that. Here's the one thing, for those that don't know, if you're watching on Facebook, the wall behind us is actually green. So if you watch any of our social media, our Instagram, our Twitter, and you see photos from the studio, it's all green behind us. This isn't real, this wall behind us. That's great, but it's also not great, because here's the problem. Almost every team in this province is green. So as Darren just said, you can't hold up a green jersey because it's invisible here on the set. As a matter of fact, I got my Saskatchewan Rush jacket on right now. This looks gray. It's actually green. Riders, green. Rush, green. All the curling teams, green.
Huskies, Rams.
Huskies, Rams.
Green.
All green. And we can't display it. So We told him we have a place called Legends Hall here, where when you come into the building, it's all legendary memorabilia on the walls. So we're going to put it in a shadow box, frame it, and put it up, and I think that's going to look pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah. It'll look great.
So thank you to Catlin Schneider for doing that. Connor watching in Yorkton. Who needs meetings? Just wing it. Honestly, Connor, I agree with you, but not everybody is that way. I could just... Oh, you've seen it.
Of course.
Dan Plaster, my legendary broadcast partner from the Pats days, always said, oh, here's the 5 minutes of prep before every hockey game. Rod's into his 5 minutes of prep time. It works. Anyways, coming up on the show today, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's actually been a really good 24 hours, which I was ready for, because the 24 hours before that were really crappy. But they're good now. And a lot of great friends coming up on the show. Matthew Barnaby joining us from Ottawa. He was telling me in Arcola last fall he wanted to launch the Matthew Barnaby Unfiltered podcast. Now he's doing it. And he wants it to be of this sort of vernacular format. He's doing it. Barney! And his very first guest was Mike Commodore. I won't spill the beans now. We'll talk about that with Matthew Barnaby coming up. TSN's John Liu. That's a first. Not only the first on this show, I don't think I've ever interviewed John before.
Yeah.
I've been around him many times. Yeah, he's a great guy.
It'll be really good.
Yeah, John Liu joining us from TSN Montreal. Damon Severson of the New Jersey Devils joining us. Defenseman of the New Jersey Devils, Saskatchewan kid. And Lieutenant Eric from TSN 1260 Edmonton joining us. I just got to say, I love the interaction with the viewers, of course. Donna Berger writes in and she says, she's watching right now. She says, is it dark for others behind Rod? I went home yesterday, watched the show. It's so dark. It seems like nighttime now.
Yeah.
So you guys have a new lighting background. What's the deal?
Well, yeah. And the guys, well, they can't explain it because there's no microphones back there. But yeah, it's the whole new system. And so we're still bringing up everything up to speed here. So we will get that background. The lights on the background will get adjusted so that we can brighten it back up.
Well, we feel like our viewers and listeners are all part of the team here. We're a franchise. We're an expansion franchise, but we're all in it together. So that's why I will answer your questions.
We wanted Trent Norway to feel more inclusive, right? It's evening time over there,
I guess. But I also want people to know how things work around here. When it comes to the look, I've said it many times to Darren and Paul, you guys are the visual guys. I don't care how it looks, because you guys bring me in and go, hey, Rob, what do you think of this? It's on a computer screen, right? Like a spec, as they call it. I don't care. I'll show up and talk for 2 hours. You guys handle the look. I don't want to be involved in it.
Yeah.
Fair?
You just want to make sure you're on the air.
Yeah. So, and we are. So let's stop talking about that and move on to our quick six show topics here today. Other than saying another thank you to Catelyn Schneider for dropping off the Tim Hortons jersey. I'm a big fan of guys that drop off stuff that means a lot to them.
Yeah.
His first Breyer appearance, and he brings the jersey here. Like, wow, that's amazing. So to the quick six show topics and the rollout for Flooring Superstore, and the guys at Flooring Superstore, huge curling fan. Trent Dickin, big time. Number one, clarifying Monday's poll question. I didn't communicate it properly, so let's put it on me, because I've been getting in fights with people across the country. It was very simply, what would you pay for a CFL pay-per-view? Have you noticed that it just spun out of complete control? And it's one thing to have some confusion over it. It's another to be dropping F-bombs and fighting over the CFL and fighting over the pandemic and COVID. It got ugly over a simple question. What would you pay for a CFL pay-per-view? And a guy in Ottawa that I've been going back and forth with, the guy, but I tried to diffuse the situation this morning. He's like, what a stupid time to ask that question. People are losing their houses and you're talking about paying to watch a game on TV. Not the least of which is the people that are saying, well, the games are on television for free. Why would I have to pay-per-view? Don't. That's where I erred in saying it's a hypothetical situation. Could you just play along? People aren't there yet. And as I've said many times, it's not getting better. It's getting worse. But I got to say something to you. It reminds me a little of the business owner here in Regina that said, I have a tough time watching your show while we're losing our shirt over there. And it's like, what do you want us to do? Quit? Should we stop having poll questions because you're having financial problems? Look, it's not rude for me to say this, because I watch these leadership webinars, read the books, listen, read my lips. I've been through several crises in my life, a lot of them self-induced. Not whining or not blaming anybody. But where were you then? So your crisis now is not my crisis. When it was my crisis, it wasn't your crisis. So don't come at me because you can't pay your bills. I feel sorry for you. If you need help, ask. But don't be clawing my eyes out because I asked how much you pay for a pay-per-view. Because, by the way, 50,000 Canadians purchased the UFC 249 on Saturday night. They're fine.
Yeah, they're fine. It's interesting with the pay-per-view thing, because I was thinking about this a lot over the last 24 hours. You know, because my first reaction is I probably wouldn't pay much. I'd pay because I love the CFL. But I mean, I'm not paying $100. I'm not paying $50. I'm probably paying a little bit, especially if I'm doing this every week. But tell me there's no football and the league has got a proposal to come back. And the only way they can come back is if they do this and the games are on pay-per-view and this and this. Now I'm considering it because it's the only option. But first, we got to get ourselves out of the mindset that we're not in the same place we were for the last 100 years. The games aren't on.
Can
for
you
free.
Play along?
You got to play along and try and close your eyes, put yourself in that situation. Okay, I'm buying the game.
We got viewers all across the country chiming in this morning, and the continent, actually. That's what we want. Jeff in Calgary, the Stamps fan, says Rod provides levity during another wise crappy time. We should all appreciate that, or don't watch. It's how I feel. Not saying I'm right or wrong, but don't come at me because you don't like my poll question. My God. Stand down. Doyle in Saskatoon writes in and says, good morning from Wendell Clark's. Joe Lazito on Long Island says, I pay for the CFL. It's the only reason that I have the ESPN Plus app. So I just wanted to clarify that. And today's poll question is coming up in the quick six show topics. Boy, we burned up a lot of time on point one. Point two, John Ryan's group, his ownership group of the Portland Pickles, minor league baseball team, interested in buying the Portland Winterhawks. I thank the NHL scout that sent me the link to the story last night and said, you might be interested in this. So I went and read it. The Portland Pickles, I've talked to John Ryan about owning that team. It's fun. Interesting topic on that, or point on that. It's what I read in the Portland newspaper is the Pickles are a collegiate baseball team, i.e. a minor pro team that employs college players.
Okay.
Not much different than the Regina Red Sox, if I'm not mistaken.
I would think.
Almost rookie ball. I don't know what their budget would be. $1 million, $1.5 million a year. The Portland Winterhawks, I would think you'd be running about $10 million. I would, not to say those guys don't have the money. I think that they have the money. But it's not 1.5, 2 mil.
No. No, it'd be north of that for sure. I think when the Blades sold, it was in the $9.5 million range, wasn't it?
Too much, in my opinion.
Something like that in terms of the value of the business. So, yeah, John's got to open up the checkbook, that's for sure, if he's going to own the Winterhawks.
Hey, I think any of us that are in sports really do dream of owning a team at some time, you know, at some point in our lives. I did a dinner in Estevan last year with Reed Simpson, NHL fighter. Remember the Flin Flon kid?
Yeah.
He bought a junior team in Chicago, and the whole idea was to just go to the game and put your feet up.
Be the owner.
Same reason I bought a restaurant. Doesn't work that way. If you want it to work. Within 6 months, Reed's the coach in the gym and running everything. And he still does. There's something to be said for us type A personalities.
It's cheaper and easier to just buy a luxury suite.
What you would think. Oh, that reminds me of The Last Dance, by the way. Did you watch last night?
No.
Episode 7 and 8?
I didn't do my homework.
No, it's fine. But I won't bring it up until you watch it.
You watched both?
Oh, yeah. I can't stop.
I know. Tonight.
And Mrs. P agreed. She's like, let's just keep rolling. Let's watch the next one. It's so good. So anyways, Johnny Ryan's looking to buy the Portland Winterhawks. That would be really cool. Point three, and this is where we get into the poll question. Major League Baseball's owners have said, let's get rolling mid-June spring training, July 1st-ish, start the regular season, and players will split the money with you 50-50. I'll be honest with you, I think that's very, very fair, even though life isn't fair. And everything was going along great. Until the players said, nope, this just amounts to a salary cap. Not interested. Oh, boy. It's the basis of my commentary on Cat Country 98, which is airing. Actually, it aired about a half an hour ago. Baseball players are just the first. CFL players, NHL players, NBA players, they're not going to like what's coming. You know what I'm saying? Owners are used to taking it in the nose. That's what they do when you own a company. The players are employees. They just want their paycheck every 2 weeks. They don't want any risk. So whose side are you on? Because I don't know. I haven't been able to decide. How I ended the commentary, by the way, was by saying, I don't need to decide today because this is a long ways from being sorted out. They're not getting to the field for a long time.
No.
Sorry to tell you.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not just right on the horizon of that. I don't know. As you phrase the argument, I think I'm on the side of the owners in this situation. I'm on the side of let's find a solution to make things work and make it happen. It's going to be short term. It's not like this is going to be implemented forever. And maybe it's the gateway drug towards having a salary cap in baseball. And that wouldn't be good for the players. It seems to work right now. The players seem to be able to be fine in their negotiations. The owners are happy with it, and there's no salary cap. But if it means getting on the field and we can mitigate risk for both sides, you can get paid. You're going to get paid, but it's going to depend on how well we do. So, hey, the players just aren't used to showing up and playing baseball and not sure if they're going to get paid or how much they're going to get paid. And that doesn't sit well with them. But if it's that or not playing at all, I think I'm on the side of the owners in this situation.
Well, can you put up the comment from Ken Kiowski so that I can see it, guys? And Ken, let us know where you're viewing from. It's a good point, and I'm glad that you clarified it. I had a rough idea of what the owners are talking about. It says, Major League Baseball owners have proposed an 82-game season with expanded playoffs starting on July 4th. Owners are offering a 50-50 split of revenues for this season with the players. The MLB Players Association are to vote on it today, but it's expected that the players will reject it. Thank you, Ken, wherever you're from. So Clark brought up a good poll question. It was, what league would you prefer to own a team in? MLB, NHL, NFL, NBA? I think let's do that tomorrow. Because on this baseball thing, I'd like to know whose side are you on, players or owners? How we're going to phrase the question, I'm not sure yet. We'll pose it in the break. or posted in the break, but I'm watching ESPN get up this morning. They got Mark Teixeira on, who I always love Mark Teixeira.
Yeah.
How could you not? And his thing was, well, he's an analyst now for ESPN on Major League Baseball. And he said, obviously, I'm always going to be on the side of the players, but in this instance, they got to play ball with the owners. And I just, when I saw that the players union had said, nope, this just amounts to a salary cap, we're not going down that road. I'm like, oh. So you can literally figure out how they're going to get on the field in every league. But once it gets to the players, and baseball's the first players to say no, they're setting a precedent.
They are. And the other leagues will look at it
right
as an opportunity for leverage. There's lots that goes into it. I mean, what happens to the contracts? You know, and a player might say, well, you're just using this to get out of the first year of my $150 million contract, and you don't have to pay that first year. You know, they're going to have to work through all of those things. But the point is, hey, let's work together and let's figure this out. Hey, we like that, but we also have these issues. So what are your thoughts on these? Like, no, don't just, I don't know.
Ken Kiyoski says he is in Yorkton, so thank you, Ken, for that. Jeff the Stamps fan says, great example of how out of touch MLB players are. Dude, the owners and governors are out of touch too. You have to understand, everybody in pro sports is out of touch. Everybody. That's part of the reason why I think we're in this pandemic here in day 61. It's God saying, guys, figure it out.
Yeah.
And until you do, no soup for you. They're not figuring it out.
What a test.
It's getting worse.
You talk about kindness and compassion and all of these tests that might be coming down, right? And it's like, let's hang with me. We're going to give them a chance to work together, huh?
What a concept.
What a concept. And they failed it. They didn't even get out of the stable. And it's failed.
I know. Well,
see?
And our viewer,
it's gonna be another year.
Our viewer John Heaps writes in and says, union mentality. Yes. In a way, yes. But I'm not letting the owners off the hook here, too. I think this is a rare moment where the owners actually were charitable or fair and said, let's just split a 50-50. What a hell of an idea.
Yeah.
Nope. You're not learning anything. You're not getting the message. As my friend Johnny Athens says, wake up and smell the coffee. What's it going to take? Anyways, whose side are you on? See, that's why it makes a good poll question.
Good.
And I haven't sorted it out yet, but who cares? Because they're not going to figure that out themselves for a long time. Moving on, point four. This is kind of sad that Derek Moncrief was waived by the Oakland. Sorry. Ding. Fine fund.
Yeah.
Las Vegas Raiders. And he never even stepped on the field. I don't think he even had a jersey on. And in my mind, so I'm thinking in my head, how much does that suck for Derek Moncrief that he gets cut by the Raiders? He was only for a couple months. He was a Raider.
Couldn't even have a cup of coffee.
Didn't even have a cup of coffee because he couldn't go to Vegas. Vegas is closed.
Yeah.
In my mind, Corey Chandler's voice is echoing, that's football. Just what it is. You're just a commodity. Then he loses his job in Saskatchewan because they signed Otha Foster to replace him, and now he's out of work. That's football. Couple quick other points. CFL top 10 quarterbacks. I put this up because I had several CFL coaches have written me in the last couple of days and said, Rod, keep it up, man. You're all we got. And I'm like, well, thank you. So I did a top 10 CFL quarterbacks. We would normally be doing that at this time. So are you ready?
Yep.
From 1 to 10, Cody Fajardo, Bo Levi Mitchell, Mike Riley, Trevor Harris, Nick Arbuckle, Zach Caleros, Vernon Adams Jr., Jeremiah Masoli, Matt Nichols, and then Macbeth. 27 responses since I posted it, 35 likes. In CFL terms, that's going viral. Just give them something to talk about. We'll kick that around, okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
And Korean baseball results, before we bring in Matthew Barnaby, from last night. Jordan, your team and mine are sucking slew water right now. The Wyverns and the Wiz are in last place at 1-4. And I lost a bet to our director of scouting last night, Craig Smith, because he's a Twins fan, and the Wyverns lost 9-5 to the Twins. So if you want to put some action on Korean baseball games, which, by the way, you can, your team lost last night, the Eagles. You know that?
Yeah.
2-1 to the Tigers. Clark's Bears beating the Giants last night, 11-6. Here, applause from this side of the room. The Giants are the lone unbeaten team at 5-0. They're the preferred team of our superfan Brady in Saskatoon. And just so you know, Jose Fernandez remains the batting average leader. He plays with the Bears. He's 591, the bad news Bears. He's hitting 591. Here, look at that. The comments are going nuts. People are loving Korean baseball. And my guy, Dong Min Han, continues to lead the league in homers with three, but he hasn't gone deep since last week. The big donger is hung on three home runs. That's what we call him in the Wyvern Nation. So let's break.
Good idea.
That is the rollout for Flooring Superstore, our quick six show topics. Matthew Barnaby coming up, John Liu, Damon Severson, and Lieutenant Eric. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup, and delivery at no extra charge. And we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
To the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. I'm going to put a pause on the sports update for Red Bull Canada and the Tap Brewhouse because Matthew Barnaby's loaded up and ready. My CFL top 10 quarterbacks has just, I knew that it would go nuts. Our viewers writing in, Jason from Red Deer says, are you putting Fajardo number one just because he plays for the Riders? He led the league in passing last year, was the West Division most outstanding player, and should have won it for the league. Don't at me. I don't have to explain that. So anyways, there's one story that I want to jump into immediately as we bring in Matthew Barnaby from Ottawa, host of the Matthew Barnaby Unfiltered podcast and a famed NHL pugilist. Look at that backdrop. How you doing, Barney?
I'm good. I thought you were bringing it said the big dongers.
Right. Hey, have I got you turned on to Korean baseball yet? Have you been following this?
Hey, I'm a big cool bet. Love UFC, Korean baseball, buddy.
The video's a little choppy. Is that audio coming through, Clark? Are we good? Or oh, Clark's telling you, can you turn the volume down on your phone or your speakers, whatever you got rocking there, and then we'll be fine. Hopefully he can hear me then.
You're on the Mac.
Oh, the Mac. Okay, well, you sound great now. So the first story I said I wanted to jump into with you is, one of the viewers said yesterday, Rod, what's your best story of fan versus player confrontations in your time? And I've had many, but can you tell the one where you got fined by the NHL? Where was that one? That was a hell of a story.
Yeah, I was in Pittsburgh at the time, and I wasn't. And we went into Florida. All fans were in the building at the time, and I knew I had to fight. I wanted to be involved in somehow. I wasn't playing fun, so going in there, I knew I had to fight or wanted to fight for else because of what had happened the game before. So, as a player, when you know you have to fight, I don't want to get done right away. For me, it didn't happen.
One second. You guys gotta get a hold of Barney and get him on the phone. I apologize, Matt, but we can't hear you. So if you can hang up, the guys will get a hold of you and we'll bring them on the phone. Because this is a story that you do not want to miss.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's what got me thinking when I said, now, and Barney actually might have been the poster boy for this, that he got fined for retaliating to a fan. And I don't understand why players should have to be the ones that pay the price. They're trying to just do their job.
Yeah. I know. And a criminal comes into your house and you're not supposed to touch him. You're not supposed to defend your territory. So, you know, the guy that comes into the penalty box with Ty Domi, or the guy who runs onto the ice and Rob Ray gives him the pounding right outside the player's bench there. I don't know. It's very tough. Or the streaker comes on the field running around the players and a linebacker gives him a shoulder, right, and knocks his front teeth loose.
Yeah, and nobody has a problem with them doing that.
No. But yet the players end up getting fined or whatever.
Maybe it's just a hockey thing. But in football, you can do it, but in hockey, you can't. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're really not allowed to touch the fans.
I mean,
from a player perspective. Now, having said that, you go to the zoo, sign says, don't feed the animals. You stick your arm in the tiger cage and it gets bitten off.
And that's where I draw the line. If the players put their hand in the cage, if they stay in the stands, say whatever you want, do what you want. I mean, whatever. That's, you pay the ticket money. It's not a license to do whatever you want, that $50 ticket or $100 ticket, but it's, you know, whatever. But the second you start, you throw something, you get into the ice, you jump on the field, you get into the player's bench, you do something like that, it's all fair game. But in the stands, if you stay there, that I get. The players shouldn't go into the stands, but...
That's why we have judges in society. And I just want to read some of the viewer comments as we await bringing Matthew Barnaby on by phone. Paul Totsky says, great guest. It's cool to hear these guys in their own words rather than what you see on TV. That's what we love about it. Nelson Hakowicz says, sports is such an interesting dynamic. I don't have 15,000 to 60,000 people yelling at me how to market a company. People aren't showing up to yell at you. But if they were, Nelson, you'd probably want to turn around and yell right back at them. So, again, I defend the players, but it can go both ways. Marty McSorley, when he clubbed Donald Brashear, which, by the way, I was a fan of too, right here. You remember that? You do that in the street, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
That's the other side of the argument, right?
End of story.
That's what we have judges for.
It's that quick, and you're right. I mean, yeah, police the game, and the players get to police themselves is what you want. That's the role of the enforcers. The players kind of police the game themselves, but they don't let us do that in real life, you know, out on the street. They don't let us police it ourselves. That's what the cops are there for, and yeah, some of the stuff that happens in sports, man, if that happened on the street outside a club or whatever, it'd be jail time for sure.
What's up with Barney, guys? Oh, Clark says he's just connecting. My four favorite words. We're working on it. Jeff in Calgary says, yesterday, Rod, you defended Rider fans for throwing beer cans. That is a longer story that we're going to have to get into. The fans were provoked by the players. Different story. In my opinion, you made a good point, though. The players can club the hell out of each other, but the moment you involve a fan, all bets are off.
Yeah.
It's kind of what you're saying there, right?
All bets are off. And that's something else that I really want to make sure that I put out there, because too many people, it just has to be black and white.
Yeah.
Right? The fans, they can't, as soon as they interact, it's no good. They should stay to themselves. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, these fans did it and you were okay with it. Yeah, I'm okay to apply some general concepts and some general guidelines and rules to different situations. Every situation is different.
By the way, hang on, Trent in Norway and the rest of you writing in. We got Barney now on video chat. They say he switched to his phone, which usually works better. And there you go, Barney. Just start all over with that story. What we got was Pittsburgh and Florida. Take it from there.
Yeah, it was in Pittsburgh, and I wasn't playing very much. And went into Florida. I knew I was going to have to flight Peter Worrell at the time. And, usually you want to get these things over really quickly. But for me, I had to wait like midway through the second period to get into our fight. So I fight Peter Worrell. Anyone that knows Big Pete is 6'6", 260, and laid an absolute beating on me. So coming off the ice, I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off that I lost the fight, but I'm also pissed off that my coach didn't let me get into this fight early into the game and really get started. So I'm coming off the ice, and a fan around 70 years old just leans right over about an inch away from my face and starts calling me the P word. So I'm not in a great mood. To start with, I got a cut under my eye, and I kind of reach out and I grab the fan and I kind of pull him over the railing. Now, this was before there was any of the tunnels that came in when you're on visiting road where the visitors come out. So I grab the guy, pull him over. I get fined. I get suspended. It's funny. I lose about $60,000 for something so stupid. But about 3 years later, the guy reaches out to me and says, hey, I feel like I owe you a dinner. Anytime you're in Florida, give me a call and I'll take you out to dinner. I decline.
Great. Well, by the way, you told me that your wife has a running tally of how much money you've paid the NHL in fines. What is that?
It was $264,000. Now that I'm divorced, it's a lot easier to get over losing $264,000.
Probably lost a lot more money in that than to the NHL. Anyways, I hope the sound's coming through. Oh, this is great. All these stories continue to flood. Barney, you know, it's been a while since you played. What was your last year? 08?
Yeah, 07, 08.
There's a real market for fight stories. Like, you should see our comment board going nuts just with your stories. Like, Nelson writes in and he says, man, gone are the days of I knew I had to fight. Is that kind of what your podcast is all about, by the way? Just those types of stories?
It's all over the map. Like, I try to take a lot of different stuff. I take stuff from your show that I watch, Colin Coward in the United States, I love. I take a little bit of everything because I don't like to do just interviews from former players, tough guys, or just talk about fighting. I try to be diverse, but do I dive into the old fighting stories? Absolutely, 100%. I love them. I miss them. And I know that fans out there want to hear about stuff that happens or that happened. And yeah, it's certainly different now. I would love to play in the game this day and age, where I don't have to worry about fighting, and I could have napped a lot better in the afternoons.
I got a million questions for you, but this, what people love, by the way, about this show is the live component and being able to ask you guys questions. So one of our viewers wants to know, what led to your longtime feud with Lyle Odelin, proud Saskatchewan boy?
Yeah, I love Lyle. It's funny, I'm in a group chat right now with Colby Armstrong, who's in South Carolina right now, so a little pissed off at Colby, the Sasky boy. But Lyle Odelin, we just hated each other right from the start. My first game was in the old Forum. He was with Montreal. I was with Buffalo. I was 19 years old. And we ended up going at it. And from that day forward, it didn't matter what team I played for. We ended up fighting. I didn't fight anyone more than him. Absolutely hated him. Got into a verbal jarring match with him when I played with Pittsburgh, calling him Cornelius because I thought he was ugly and thought he looked like Cornelius from Planet of the Apes. But funny you say that, because I actually talked to him yesterday, and he will be on my podcast in the coming weeks. The one guy I've always wanted to interview, not Wayne Gretzky or Mario Lemieux or some of the Hall of Famers that I've had, but Lyle Odorline in a couple of weeks will be on Unfiltered with Matthew Barnaby.
Wow, that's unbelievable. And speaking of hate, by the way, I was talking to Grimmer not that long ago, and I told him that you want to bury the hatchet. And Grimmer said, I'm just pushing his buttons. He goes, I don't hate Barney. Can you tell him I don't hate Barney? So if you get that, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, actually.
Grimmer's the best.
Yeah, he is.
I'd rather fight Grimmer now that he's lost about 60 pounds.
There's not much to him anymore. You're right. You know, and you know, speaking of all that, you're not a real big man, Barney. I'm going to talk about our night in Arcola in a second here. What are you, 6'1"? What are you doing fighting Peter Worrell at 6'6" or Grimmer at 6'6"?
Yeah, it's not. It's funny because I'm a big UFC guy. I love boxing. And everyone always says, you got the crap kicked out of you with these guys. I'm like, yeah, I was fighting up like 9 weight categories, like weight classes. Like, I was about 190 when I played. Ballooned to about 210 when I stopped playing, and since quarantine back down to that 190 range. But yeah, I probably should have stayed in my own weight category. The problem was guys 185 to 195 wouldn't fight me, so I had to go up to the other heavyweights and then the super heavyweights with the Worrells and obviously the Fedorics and Grim Reapers. So I'll get into a verbal jarring match with the guys like Kelly Chase or those guys, but certainly I don't even want to get into one of those with Stu Grimson. He's a lawyer, man.
Right. Well, and by the way, so we go to Arcola to do this dinner. Arcola or Carlisle, their neighboring communities. Which one was it? I think maybe it was Carlisle.
Arcola.
That's what I thought. So we walk into the hall. First thing, Barney, and as friend Andre Waugh say to the guy putting on the dinner, is what can we get away with? What with stories? What can we say? What's offside? And the guy said, we had Mike Commodore here last year. There's nothing you could say that would offend people more than Mike Commodore did last year. So go nuts. And he was recently on your podcast. So how did that go?
He was awesome. He's a great guy. He's very smart. He's very funny, but he's an open book, like I am, like Andre is. He's going to tell you the stories. He's going to tell you that he despises Mike Babcock. He's going to tell you that, you know, that he got drunk at a bar and got in a fight and wrestled. We got into that, but Mike's just brutally honest. He loves to have fun. Loves sports, and he loves stories. He loves people. So I love having him on. He's a good friend. And when this quarantine breaks, I'm certainly going out to visit him out west, Calgary.
What do you got lined up for guests on your show, by the way?
In the next 2 weeks, we have PJ Stock, Lyle Odorline, Thurman Thomas, and a couple pending. So I got my mom coming on too tomorrow. So we gotta play a couple games, bang, kill, marry with her, and find out how her Tinder profile is at 80 years old.
I love it. By the way, speaking of that, I honestly could listen to your stories all day. And I know how close you are with your mom. Heard that story, single mom raising you and has made you as tough as you are. I'd like to meet her one day, by the way. But you kind of got into some Chicago stories that night, and we're going to have to roll here right away because John Liu's standing by. But have you watched The Last Dance on the Bulls? You must. Do you want to get into your times with Dennis Rodman, or would you rather not?
No, I'll go quickly. And John, I can promise John, and I'm sure he's listening right now, he's going to be much better dressed than I am. One of the best dressed guys out there, and one of the great reporters in the game and class people. But yeah, in Chicago, I'll make a long story short. Anyone that watched The Last Dance last night met with Michael Jordan's right-hand guy, George, who was on the show that was supposed to pick up Jordan's dad, who never obviously showed up and was murdered right after they found out. But I went out with Brad May and Rob Ray and Dennis Rodman, Chris Chelios, someone slipped something in my drink. We've all been intoxicated. I know I have. I haven't had drinks in 2 months, but I was probably a little overserved that night. But long story short, I ended up pooping my pants in the middle of the cab with five guys around me and showing up to my hotel room with poop dripping down my back end and no pants on, just dress shoes. And it was rough getting my key with no ID and some poop dripping down. So have a great Tuesday, everyone.
At least it was a dumpy hotel, right? Not a classy Chicago hotel.
The drink. Yeah. Just where all the presidents and prime ministers stay.
All right. So that's what you can look forward to on Unfiltered, Matthew Barnaby's podcast. Barney, thanks. Keep in touch, my man. Stay safe.
Hey, keep up the awesome work. And sorry if the video didn't work great today, but we'll fix that.
No,
keep up the awesome work.
It's good. The main point is him. Don't worry about the video. Don't bet on the jockey. Bet on the horse. He's the jockey. Right? So, okay. We're going to break. Is John Liu ready, guys? Is he? Watched the whole thing. Okay. We'll get John Liu's take on being the best dressed man in Canadian television. How's that?
Yeah.
Oh, today we are making chicken salad out of lemonade. As usual.
As usual.
It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds full-service car wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh, yeah. He's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Today's show has, again, been like walking across the freeway, trying to manage everything. So I have not tweeted the question yet, the Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question. Maybe you guys can once we get John Liu on the air. But the question is, who do you support in the baseball situation? I don't even know how to word it yet, but the owners have said, let's get back playing, start July 4th, and whatever the revenues are, players, let's split them 50-50. And the players said, nope. That's a salary cap, not interested. And it's like, oh. And they're just the first. I think the NFL players are going to do the same. I think the NHL players, CFL players. So on the Prairie Mobile text line, anonymous texter from the 536 writes in and says, as the old man would say, pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered. Players are being hogs. Your dad said that? My accountant says that. Same thing. Come on, players. How much do you need? So we'll get that tweeted and all the rest. We got a lot to get to. But let's bring in TSN Montreal's John Liu, whom you just heard is the best dressed man on Canadian television. How you doing, John?
Thanks, guys. And it's like a really tough act to follow in Barney. And you know what? I'm getting feedback on my microphone, so I'm just going to go straight off the computer if that's okay with it.
Do whatever you need to do. Yep. That's you see, he's going to turn off his computer.
Yeah, that was the nice compliment that Barney paid me, but here I am sitting in my scrubs and a long sleeve t-shirt, so I can't really live up to that. That's those kudos that he threw my way. But hey, we are in isolation in a pandemic, so comfort's important when you're working.
Now, hey, I do have a subsequent question. How's the audio on this, Clark? It's not coming through great in my earphone. How is it going out to the viewers? Oh, he's one more question, Clark says. We'll go a little longer. John, this is the longest I've ever seen your hair.
Yeah, it's kind of, I would say, college length. I was supposed to go for a cut in March, I think a couple of days before the NHL pause. And so obviously that didn't happen. And here in Quebec, things are really on hold for probably longer than most other parts of the country will be. The premier is talking about May 25th for some businesses and schools to reopen. So could be another couple of weeks before I have a chance of getting a cut. So yeah, I'm sort of approaching college and even high school levels here. So links rather. So if I'm on again before the end of May, it'll be even longer, Roger.
You know what? You look very youthful.
Yeah.
You look younger, though. I'm not saying I don't like it. I'm just saying it's long. And by the way, Nelson Hakowich, one of our viewers, says even casual, John Liu is the best dressed broadcaster. So you got a lot of fans out here in Western Canada, John. So how have you kept busy, by the way, for the last 2 months? Because TSN's kind of shut the doors for the most part. What's it been like for you?
Yeah, it's been difficult. We've been trying to chase down interviews for various subjects and trying to tell stories of athletes who are good, inspiring stories. And
well, also, Kate, you guys, or have him phone. This is not my day. And it's going so good. The interviews have been great.
Oh, yeah.
The technology's been letting us down.
A little bit.
And the one thing, by the way, I'll tell our viewers, because what the hell, we got nothing else to talk about. I said to Paul, do you ever envision a day where, not just us, but CNN's having these issues, TSN's having these issues, ESPN. He goes, when everybody has thick enough broadband to their homes, to their offices, they will. Because you saw him, we had the trucks putting in a friggin' cable that 3 feet wide. What's coming out of here? But not everybody has that going into their home. So Paul's like, when the world gets up to speed internet-wise, it'll look...
Oh, yeah.
You know? And but we're a ways away from that happening.
No, for sure. And we're kind of at the mercy of what he's got at home. And, you know, some people might say, $100 for internet, I want the $20 package. And that might not be good enough for, to have that high upload speed and download speeds to do video chats. But that's okay. Something happened. Maybe a call came in. That happens too with the guys on the phone when they're gets cut off by a phone call coming in or something like
that's
that.
That's what Clark just said. A call came in. Now, look, I think everybody, if you've been watching this show for some time, or even if you're just watching now, you're realizing what's very exciting about this is it is the Wild West of broadcasting. In the pandemic right now, it's the Wild West. Everybody's trying stuff. You don't need a broadcast license to start a podcast, do a Facebook live show, or do something like this. And who knows what's going to stick and what's going to be kicked to the curb when we all come out of this.
Yeah.
How many guys are going to be staying at home and broadcasting from home in the future? I see Tim and Sid just started doing their broadcast. Was it just yesterday?
Yeah.
Took Sportsnet 2 months to figure out how to get those guys back on the air.
Right.
On television.
Right. Doesn't happen overnight. They're all trying to figure that out. It is. It's the Wild West. And, and it's not necessarily about who pulls first and shoots first. You know, you also got to be accurate. You got to put out a good product. You know, everybody's throwing stuff out there. Even look back to, 2 months ago. How many live streams, how many different people were going on Instagram Live, Facebook Live, pumping out content, and the amount of content we're getting now. It's such a small amount. Nobody's stayed with it.
That's the point. When the world gets back to normal, if there ever is a normal, how many are still doing that? So they tell me, John, that we have you again and that a call came in. So where you left off was you said that you were trying to track down guys for interesting interviews and stories. Can you pick up from there?
Yeah, and for various reasons, it's been met with varied success. Some people are very humble about what they're doing, like, for instance, Duvernay Tardif, who's a registered physician, and Joanie Rochette, the Olympic champion, who's also a doctor. And they've been working in nursing homes here in Quebec, where the largest segment of the population has been affected in terms of cases and, unfortunately, deaths. But, you know, the very humble individuals that they are have been hesitant to do widespread media, I think largely because they want to focus on their jobs, their professions, and helping their community, the people who are the ones that were most heavily affected. And so it's very admirable, but it would be nice to share their story. But there may come a time where the situation improves here, the fact that they will be hesitant to speak, but that's just a couple of examples. We've been doing pretty much all our work by Skype, and so it's a different format technology that we're getting used to, and so it's been a little bit of an adjustment talking with colleagues or athletes via Skype and bringing you into our home. This is my kitchen behind me as we speak. I don't have the nice backdrop of some of our insiders. They have their nice settings and man caves where they've got beautiful backgrounds, but here I'm just in the kitchen for the time being. I'll have to sort of come up with something a little bit different, maybe if we get some of the materials together to improve my background. But so it's very different from what we're accustomed to, but it's a challenge, but everybody's in the same boat. We're all in this together, and everybody's having to adjust on a personal and professional level.
I think it looks just fine. Real is where it's out. We're all about authenticity here, by the way, or at least we certainly try to be. But your story about, if I got the name right, Luc Duvernay-Tardif.
Tardif, yeah.
Of the Chiefs, the defensive tackle, the Canadian defensive tackle, just wins a Super Bowl, and now he's on the front lines. Maybe if you don't mind, can you tell our viewers about that in case they missed it? Because it's a mind-blowing story. First of its kind, probably.
Yeah, I believe so. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, actually, he grew up in the community where I live in, well, I won't say suburban Montreal, it's about 20 kilometers southeast of Montreal. But his family owned a bakery here, a very good bakery, I might add. And so he's been a lifer in this part of the community. And he's went to medical school at McGill, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And was a very high caliber offensive lineman, actually. And so the fact that he made the NFL out of a Canadian school, that in and of itself was impressive enough, because the number of Canadian players in the NFL is pretty short list, but Laurent, being a stalwart on that offensive line, he got a really good long-term contract, and we all saw what happened this past February, or the playoff run that started in December and through into February, but being protector for Patrick Mahomes and being a Super Bowl champion, just tremendous. But in addition to the fact that he graduated from medical school this year as well, so talk about stars aligning. And so he, for the off season until the pandemic hit, was going to probably take it a little bit easier. But having said that, with the NFL being just one of all sports leagues on hold, well, threw in his hat to serve the community. And so he is working in a long-term care home. I'm not sure exactly where. I believe it's in South Shore, the same region close to where he lives. But he's basically in there taking care of residents. As I mentioned earlier, old folks' homes are the hardest hit segment of Quebec society. And the numbers are just staggering. I don't know the exact proportions, but if we were to look at Quebec as a whole, the number of confirmed cases and sadly the number of deaths, they form at least 50%, if not the greater majority of all cases within the province. And so what Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is doing is incredibly altruistic, but it just shows what kind of an individual he is. He's so dedicated to his craft as an athlete, but as a physician, he truly lives the Hippocratic Oath to basically give comfort and to commit his life to healing. And he's put himself in harm's way. There are a lot of frontline workers in long-term care facilities who have come down with the virus. Sadly, some have died. And so Duvernay-Tardif, he's risking his life for his community.
John, last question I have for you. A lot of our viewers, of course, writing in regarding your role as the sideline reporter at those games in Montreal. Who knows if we're going to be close to a Save Our CFL campaign? I'm kind of feeling that we are. Ottawa will determine that. But from a CFL perspective, and I got all these league people reaching out saying, keep doing with the show. It's so positive what you're doing. So let's say this. What do you love about the CFL in your role? What do you love the most about being right in the line of fire there on the sidelines at McGill?
Just feeling the buzz at field level. For any fans who have the opportunity to watch a live sporting event, any sport, but I mean football, because it's so intense, it's so physical, and it's so fast, being able to watch the game from the sidelines and try to process and observe what's going on that becomes relevant to viewers by moment to moment, but watching from that particular viewpoint is a rush. It's a lot of fun. And you know, especially if a play comes to the sidelines, the advertising collapsible is the barrier between the field and myself. You have a receiver running out of bounds, and the defenders are converging on him, and they tackle him, run him out of bounds, it hits that barrier, and that thing collapses right in front of me. It's nice reality TV, listen to it that way. And then sometimes the ball gets overthrown and comes your way, and it's like, okay, well, you try to catch this, you know, let it go. If you're Matthew, you try to catch everything. But yeah, being put in that particular point, being able to game and part of the broadcast. A lot of fun.
It is, and the fans love it. John, I appreciate the time. Hopefully we can do it again. I appreciate everything about you. You're cool, man, but you know that. Hey, stay safe out there, and hope to see you soon.
Stay safe, all of you. Thank you so much.
John Liu joining us from Montreal. He's got a lot of fans.
Oh, yeah.
What can I say? Not his barber. The hair looks good. The, you know, flow.
It does. And there was so many comments about how young he's looking too.
It's youthful.
Oh yeah.
Jeff the Stamps fan writes in. He says Percival Molson Stadium, second best CFL stadium next to McMahon. Come off it, Jeff the Stamps fan. That's one thing I didn't have any problem at all rating what I felt was the top 10 quarterbacks in the CFL. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think the players have a problem with that. They've been rated their whole lives.
Right.
But rating the stadiums in the CFL, I have a problem with, because they're all great for different reasons.
Yeah.
And Montreal is right up there. I got to say, you just got to go to experience it for yourself. Like if you were to have a Habs trip and an Alouettes trip as a sports fan, and you want, maybe when this lifts and sports comes back and you want to keep your money in Canada per se, or maybe the dollar drops to 50 cents and you don't want to go to the States, I would put Montreal number one. Now, if you're a Leafs fan, Argos, Blue Jays, whatever, I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
But I do think we are underrated as a country for sports destinations. There's no doubt. But at Montreal, it even comes across the television broadcast. You've probably heard that. Make some noise!
Oh, yeah.
Their PA announcement.
It's great.
These are a freaking hornet's nest, man.
Yeah, and it looks good. It sounds good. Is that, they get the seagulls that go in front of the camera sometimes? Yeah,
that's not good.
That's not great. But the atmosphere seems unbelievable. And
it is.
Yeah, and Montreal is such a cool city, and it's such a great place to go. Yeah, I agree. What a sports destination that is.
Prairie Mobile text line from Jim Wagner writes in at 840-8777, 306, 840-8777. He says, love the show because it's real. Except for the green screen stuff, of course. All good, guys. Take care. I don't know what it is. I'm going to have to ask my wife when I get home after this, but Something about the lighting of the show and the black shirt that I'm wearing, I look absolutely ghostly. Don't I?
Put up the hood, be like the Reaper.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
There you go. Here it comes.
It is Obi-Wan. Look, we have to break for the end of hour one. Get used to this. I look like a ghost. My mom would say, you're not wearing the right colors, Rodney. You should be wearing fall colors, browns, oranges, yellows. That's what my mom would be saying right now if she was watching this show. Next hour, Damon Severson of the New Jersey Devils, Lieutenant Eric from TSN 1260. And for some reason, when we get into hour two, it seems like we have much more time to open up the throttle and let her rip in terms of viewer comments, my reaction to those comments. So that's all coming up. And I'll tweet the poll question in the break. Hour two is going to be hella fun. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.